I'd like you to turn now once again to Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And we speak again of the love of God, which has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When a candidate for the gospel ministry comes before our church, he is examined in what we call Christian faith and life. And sometimes that examination is called an examination in experimental religion. Of course, a fellow who comes and applies for admission into the church as a pastor is also examined as to his knowledge of the Bible, and he's examined as to the orthodoxy of his theology. But a good grasp of theology and a good grasp of the content of the Bible is really not enough. In fact, it is nothing without an experimental knowledge of God. And a candidate for the gospel ministry must be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "The love of God has been poured out within my heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to me." And that fellow must be able to display that there are evidences within his life that display the presence of the Spirit of God. It's no different, however, with each of us. It's no different with you. A knowledge of the Bible and a keen knowledge of theology are good. But an experimental knowledge of God is fundamental. An ongoing personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is basic. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God is an absolute necessity. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Our subject is your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that subject involves experimental things. And as we talk about this, I'd like you to take seriously your own relationship with the Holy Spirit and examine it. We'll first of all look at what Paul says when he talks about the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And second, we'll see that the Apostle Paul is talking about the new birth here. He's talking about being born again. And third, we need to see that there are evidences, profound evidences, which indicate the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And again, in all of this, we need to take very seriously our relationship with the Holy Spirit. First of all, let's look at these words. Paul says at the end of verse 5, "The Holy Spirit was given to us." He speaks of the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And this is truly an astonishing truth of the Bible. Of course, Paul is speaking to and he's speaking about Christians. And there can be no doubt concerning the teaching of the Bible here. The Holy Spirit is given to all Christians without exception. Now, when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and when the Apostle Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit, he's not just talking about some sort of force or some sort of influence. The Holy Spirit is a person, and we sometimes forget that. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is the third person of the Trinity, if you will. He is the Spirit of God. He is the very Spirit of Christ. And this person is given to the believer, to every believer. And the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is given to every true believer is confirmed for us in that portion of Scripture which we read just moments ago in Romans chapter 8. And if you turn there, just turn a couple of pages to Romans chapter 8, particularly verse 9. Paul says, "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." There's little doubt about what Paul is speaking of here. The Spirit of God dwelling in you. And he goes on, "But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." It's very plain, isn't it? If the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in you, you're not a Christian. That's the fact of the matter. The truth is that if the Holy Spirit is not in you, you are not a Christian. There is no exception to this rule. It's not one of those rules that we often find exceptions to. This one has no exceptions. And you see, again, we are not talking about people who simply say that they are Christians and sincerely believe that they are. We are not talking about those who attend a church regularly, who may read the Bible, and who may have a lot of knowledge about the Bible crammed into their heads. This is all, of course, very good. But it's not good enough. The Holy Spirit must live in you. The Lord Jesus Christ promised this to his disciples. Listen to what he said. He said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, the Spirit of truth, to be with you forever. The world cannot accept this counselor because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Christ promised his disciples that the Holy Spirit would be in them, that the Holy Spirit would be given to them. And this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. And there is even a more direct statement about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says to the Corinthian Christians, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God?" That's the tremendous truth. The Holy Spirit dwells in your body. Who can understand that? Who can really fully comprehend that? That the Holy Spirit of God dwells within this mortal frame. That this body is a temple, is a sanctuary, is a holy place in which dwells the Spirit of the living God. But this is what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. He says, "The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." What a glorious truth that is. But now let's understand it more fully. Let's understand that when the Apostle Paul talks about the Holy Spirit dwelling in an individual, that this person is born again. Notice in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that the Apostle Paul concerns himself with our hearts. the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. And we talked about this a little bit last week. We said that our hearts, your heart and my heart, involves all that we are. The heart is the center of our thinking. The heart is the center of our feelings and of our emotions. The heart is the center and the core of our wills. Our motives are found there. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself has a lot of profound things to say about our hearts. I'd like you to turn back, if you would, please, to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 7. And look at what the Lord Jesus says here. Mark, chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts and fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Is our environment the problem? Not according to Jesus. Those things proceed from out of the heart. What are covetousness and envy and slander and pride? They are evidences of a heart problem. The person who is full of envy and pride has a heart problem. The person who lies or cheats or steals or commits adultery or fornication has a heart problem. Such a person needs their thinking changed from the inside out. Such a person needs their motivational life altered from the inside out. Such a person needs their emotions transformed, their feelings transformed from the inside out. Or in other words, as Paul puts it, they need the love of God poured out in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. They need a change of heart. That's what it's all about. The Old Testament speaks of this too. In Ezekiel chapter 36, please look at that with me if you would. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 27. God giving us wonderful words here. Listen to what He says. He says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. What a wonderful thing God promises. Look at the several things that God says will take place. Cleansing, inner cleansing. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from your filthiness. Is there in the heart any filthiness? And who will cleanse it? God will. The old heart with its perverted thinking and with its perverted emotions and with its perverted motivations will be removed, he says. A new heart will be put in its place. Moreover, verse 26, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And then the wonderful thing which he says is this. I will put my spirit within you. Do you see that this is exactly the same thing that the Apostle Paul is talking about? in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. When he speaks of the love of God poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And what do we call this? What do we call it when God gives you his Holy Spirit? What do we call it when God gives you a spiritual heart transplant? What do we call it when your heart is changed? When your thinking is reoriented to understand spiritual values. When your emotions are bridled and directed in godly ways. And when your motives for doing things are literally turned around. What do we call that? Well, Jesus tells us what we call it, or what we ought to call it. Jesus says, except one is born again or born from above, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. And when the Holy Spirit is poured out in your heart for the first time, and when the love of God is poured out in your heart through the Holy Spirit, that's regeneration, that's rebirth. That's what the Bible calls it. But now let's carry it a step further. If your heart is changed by God, if your old heart of stone has been replaced by a new heart of flesh, and if God has given you his Holy Spirit, and if radical heart surgery has in fact been done on you, shouldn't there be some tangible evidence in your life that that really has taken place? That this utterly miraculous transformation has occurred? Of course there should be evidence. And that gets us to our third point. What these evidences really are. The evidences of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I think this really gets down to where it counts when we talk about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Again, let's look at what the Apostle Paul has to say in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 and 23. Familiar verses. Here we see the fruit produced by the Spirit in your heart. Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. My friends, the active presence of this fruit is evidence that God has given you the Holy Spirit. And if God has given you a spiritual heart transplant, this fruit should be present. But if God has not placed his Spirit within you, there is also evidence, isn't there? If God has not given you a new heart, then that old heart is still present. And what did Jesus say about that old heart? He said, out of that old heart comes all manner of things. Paul lists the fruit that comes out of the old heart too. He calls that fruit the deeds of the flesh. And they're found in Galatians 5, 19 and following. He says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousings. The they're familiar. And Paul gives a warning about them. Look at the end of verse 21. He says, "Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." In other words, if the habit of life, if your habit of life involves these things, if that's the way you live, you're not heaven bound. You do not have a new heart. The Holy Spirit does not live within you. That's what Paul is telling us. And I think we need to look at that very carefully. And as you look at, again at the list of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, what's at the head of that list? Love. Love is at the head of that list. That selfless love that Paul is talking about is a love that is patient. It is a love that is kind. It is a love that is never jealous. It is a love that is not arrogant or boastful. It is a love that does not demand its own way. It is a selfless love. And the question is, does that love fill your life? And if that kind of love fills your life, then the Holy Spirit is present. That's what Paul is teaching us. Go again to Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and look at what he says. He says, "The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." The love of God, that love, that selfless love, which is the chief fruit of the Spirit, is poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And if that love is present, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and with all your soul, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, that's the summary of the moral law. That's the chief of the commandments. If that love is present, then the Holy Spirit must be present. And again, this all gets down to our intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I think the question does need to be asked. What is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit of God dwell within your mortal flesh? Is He there? Is He present? Is He inside of you? Is there evidence? Is there evidence showing in your life that He's present? That love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness. Has the love of God been poured out in your heart through the Holy Spirit? My friends, these are vital questions. They are not only vital questions, they are questions of so great importance. You see, it is possible for us to come to church week after week, to read the Bible. But if the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in you, then you aren't a Christian. And if God hasn't given you a new heart, then you aren't a Christian. So I think it's time to really examine ourselves with regards to these things. And if you find that your heart is not what it should be, if you find that the deeds of the flesh are ruling, it's time to seek after God. It's time to come to Christ.
And I'd really like to talk to you about that further. I really would. And I'd like to have the personal opportunity to talk to you about that further, if that's really the case. But on the other hand, if the fruit of the Spirit is growing in you, and if your life is being transformed, if the deeds of the flesh are being set aside, and the fruit of the Spirit is daily more in evidence in your life, take time. Take time to cultivate that fruit. Take time to make sure that it grows and is very visible. And take time also to thank God. To thank God that He has been pleased to give you the Holy Spirit. Thank God that there is that kind of evidence in your life that you are a Christian. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, help us to understand your words in the Scriptures. And so work in us, Father, and so pour your Spirit out within us, that our lives are brought more and more into conformity to the life of Christ, being full of love and joy and peace, that fruit of the Spirit. Bless us. Bless your people. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.